I scream, you scream, we all scream for quality science fiction and fantasy content. For an extra scoop of sword and lasery goodness, go to patreon.com/swordandlaser.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Sword and Laser. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Sword and Laser is a book club, but it's so much more. We bring you author interviews, news from the world of science fiction and fantasy, and awesome discussions from fans just like you.
And people listening to this on demand have no idea that I totally missed our normal record time yesterday, leaving Veronica wondering where I was yesterday.
I was actually like a little worried. Like I was actually like a little concerned because...
Is he okay?
So for reference, or I guess for background, Tom, like every time we have a recording date, he pings me like early in the day to be like... Hey, we still good for tonight?
Because yeah,
I'm
you
the
know,
one who's got
change.
Like the toddler,
yeah,
and the,
exactly.
You know, some weird schedule, and so it's and I have been known to forget that we have a recording. I've never missed a recording, but I have occasionally had to rush to like get my crap together to be in time for the recording.
That was me yesterday,
and that was Tom yesterday. So I'm sitting
that was
here
too far away to rush.
In the Discord, and we're all like, where's Tom? Where's Tom? He pinged us in the Discord to say that there was a recording tonight.
Yeah.
He pinged Veronica, like, is Tom okay? So I called him on FaceTime, and he didn't answer. And then I texted him. Is that really? Okay, so now let's hear your side of the story, how okay. That went down.
So, yes. So I pinged you and was like, good for today? Cool. Then as soon as I get the ping from you, I go into the Discord and I let everybody know, hey, looks like we're on for the recording tonight. So I'm all good. I make the lineup. I'm all ready to go.
All your ducks were in a row.
I get done with some of my other stuff early, partly because I usually do. It's a thing on Wednesdays at 4 Pacific, but we had pre-recorded this week, so I had a little extra time. Mm. So mm-hmm. I sit down, I'm hanging out with Eileen, and she's like, oh, I want to run to Target. Do you want to come with me? I was like, oh, yeah, I have time. I just have to be back by 7. She's like, okay, we should get something to eat while we're out. Well, we start looking at where we should go to eat, and our friend Lamar texts us and like, hey, what are y'all doing for dinner? Like, oh, we were going to go to Target and grab some. Do you want to come? That slowly becomes, let's go to Topanga Social, which is this like far away mall, but a really cool food court. And in the process of me being out of my routine by not having it's a thing,
mm-hmm.
I sort of forgot that the whole premise of grabbing something to eat was that we weren't going far. The Target is not very far from our house. And so going all the way out there would mean it would take longer. And then, of course, Lamar was like, oh, hold on. I just got to upload something real quick. And it became, oh, yeah, no problem. We'll feed Sawyer.
And we'll wait
so
for you.
I just
and
was then, yeah. Totally like spacing on the fact that I had to be back by 7 because part of my brain was like, yes, you can go to Target and eat and be back in time. So I'm at Topanga Social in the middle of ordering a burger. And FaceTime comes up and I immediately like, oh crap. I panicked and I didn't want to talk in front of everyone while we were ordering the burger. So I just hung up on you, denied the call and then immediately felt bad. Like, oh no, that's not what I should have done. And then I texted like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And then called you and you were very nice and understanding. And I thank you for that. But I felt
of course.
So bad.
No worries. We had a grand old time. We did a tour of my office and looked
oh, that's
at all
cool.
my plants.
Nice.
Talked about tattoos and yeah, talked about
on
what
the,
else we
on
were
the
reading.
Live. Just the Discord people got like
well,
a special
I turned
perk.
On the video.
Yeah,
so they've
yeah,
never
yeah.
they never watched the video. So I turned on my video and we just had like a little fun like, you know, Q&A chit chat time
nice.
And it was all good. Yeah.
That's very cool.
And then and so I'm impressed. We have a number of more people here than I was expecting tonight because of the redo. We had a lot of folks last night too. So that was fun.
Well, my apologies to anybody who showed up live yesterday and got shut out. It was entirely my fault. I have no excuse.
It's okay. You know, honestly, we've been doing this for what, like 15 years?
Yeah.
It's bound to happen.
It's
going to
happen. I think it may have
happened
to me once before. I don't even remember. It's been so long.
Yeah. You've got a good track record, Merritt.
Oh, thanks.
I'll give you a pass on this one.
I'll try not to let it happen again for another 15 years.
How was the burger?
Yes. So what are we nomming? Yesterday I was having an Amboy crispy burger. Amboy is a burger place. And the crispy burger is a smash burger with crispy cheese. So they like melt the cheese and then like keep letting it melt till it gets nice and crispy, but not burnt. And then you get like a crispy cheeseburger.
Ooh, nice. I am eating lots of leftover Easter candy.
That's your dinner.
That wasn't on my dinner tonight. Tonight we had kind of like a, I didn't really know what to make. I had gotten these like new veggie grounds that have a lot more veggies in them.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to make like a Thai basil dish with it over rice.
Oh, yeah. And
we also had some leftover Indian food from last night. And so I was like, I'll just make a little kind of leftover meal and add this other thing. And so I made it, and the ground was like a little more like mushy and less ground-like than I was expecting. So it turned out a little weird, but it was still very flavorful.
That's good.
Yeah, so it was fine. But yeah, leftover Easter candy is where it's been at for me.
What's the Easter candy of choice that's left over at this point?
I am, I've always been a big Cadbury fan.
Yes, I know.
And so I did. I've had a couple eggs around. Mm-hmm. I've had the mini eggs. I never ate the mini eggs as a kid.
Really?
Whoa, those are good. Like I've been eating a lot of mini eggs. Mm. Yeah, very, very quite dangerous. But they're delicious. So I try not to do too much, you know, per day, but it's a little nice little treat.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Nice. Very good. The Halloween.
Someone's
got to
eat it.
Easter.
Mm-hmm. That's good. All right, let's jump into the quick burns.
Ah, yes, it is that time again for the Hugo Awards finalists to be announced. I know it feels like we just got done being mad at the last Hugos, but here they are again. Best novel nominees are The Adventures of Amina al-Sarafi by Shannon Chakraborty, The Saint of Bright Doors by Vajra Chandra Sekera, Some Desperate Glory by Emily Tesh, recently in our March tournament, Starter Villain by John Scalzi, Translation State by Anne Leckie, and Witch King by Martha Wells. And then Mark added in the Discord that this year's Sword and Laser Awards bump goes to The Mimicking of Known Successes by Malka Older, which is also nominated in a different category.
Yeah, what category was that one in? I know you don't have
best
it here.
Novella.
So
it's no,
that's what I figured.
Because it's shorter.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's short. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Sword and Laser bump. TM. Copyright.
Oh, and I
trademark
think,
and copyright.
I think, let's see, Zhao, yeah, Jiran J. Zhao got nominated for Best New Writer.
Oh, sweet.
After being disallowed from being nominated in the previous Hugos.
Good.
Which leads to Paul's notation. He noted that Zhao was nominated after being disqualified in the last Hugos. Sword and Laser author Adrian Tchaikovsky also nominated again for Best Series after refusing last year's Hugo Award. But this time it's a different series from last year. And a high number of Chinese first language works and collections are nominated, which is nice to see since they were mysteriously deprioritized last year. And then Paul notes there is an almost, in Paul's words, almost comic level of transparency and detail on the webpage beneath
Good.
Each list of nominees. Was how many ballots were cast, how many nominees there were, and the range of ballots that were received for the finalists. For best fan cast, the low end was 28. We Shields should really make a concentrated effort one year. At the bottom of the page is also a list of who was not nominated despite having enough ballots and why. So they are really trying to right the wrongs committed last year, which is nice to see.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. Jan says the German Serif Awards 2024 have been announced, and oh boy, the debut title is a long one in German, so I'm going to read the translation. The title can be translated, according to Jan, as Almost Forgotten Mythical Creatures, The Fabulous Expeditions of Konstantin O. Bolt. And Jan says, I really hope this book gets translated because it's absolutely gorgeous. It's completely illustrated with yellow pages, ink stains, and wonderful illustrations, and is written as if it were the actual expedition notes of an alternate 1860s scholar traveling to the last fairy tale creatures of Europe. Best book. That sounds amazing, by the way. Like that, I would love to. I haven't checked out. Sarah says, does it sound better in German? Probably. All right. Oh, shall I try? Or Tom,
you'll
do you have
disappointing
any
disappointing the Shields if you don't try to pronounce this. I will also give it a shot if you like. So
okay,
that,
I'll
it,
try.
Yeah, right. It won't be easy.
Oh, jeez. I apologize to any German speakers in advance. Fast verschwundene, fast verschwundene Fabelwesen. Die Sagenhaft Expedition des Konstantin Obolt by Florian Schaefer and Elif Siebenpfeifer.
Yeah.
Siebenpfeifer.
That was good. That was good. Yeah. Jason Reed says, just sound angrier and you've probably got it. Fast
Verschwunden.
Fast Verschwunden.
That's the hard one.
Verschwunden. Fast Verschwunden. Fabelwesen. Die Sagenhaft Expedition des Konstantin Obolt.
Wow.
By Florian Schaefer.
I don't even know if I should be impressed because I don't know how close you actually were, but it sounded
close.
Good.
Exactly. It's all in the confidence. Just talk fast.
All right. I like it. Well,
I probably
can't
had
say
like a Danish accent or something, but yeah.
But Jan goes on to say that the best book goes to A Breath of Winter by Karina Schnell. He goes on to say, well, I don't need to translate the title due to the trend to give German romantasy novels an English title, despite being written in German and having no connection to the UK or America, probably to appeal to younger audiences and sound more international. Do I sound annoyed? Probably. I'm getting old, Jan says. In any case, the book itself is an enemies to lovers fantasy story inspired by Norse mythology. And is probably fine.
That reminds me of when English writers writing in English give their novels like a Spanish title, right? La Casa de Aroma, but it's by Barbara Winters.
Aroma is not a Spanish word, as far as I know. So you just said the House of Aroma.
I think it is. I think Aroma in Spanish is Aroma, but yeah, that's probably not the best example.
Is it?
Yeah. So giving it an English title is that same thing. Like when English writers want to sound fancy, they use a Spanish or a French title, even though it's written in English. I guess it's the same thing. German writers are like, oh, we want it to sound romantasy, and romantasy titles are usually in English. So we'll do that.
I'm stuck on aroma being the same word in Spanish and English. So I have to find out.
What is Spanish for aroma?
Aroma. Oh my God, it is aroma.
Yeah, I thought I thought I had
why
that,
do you,
right?
How do you know that? Wow.
I took Spanish in fourth grade. That's how I know that.
I took Spanish for like 7 or 8 years and I never knew that. Crazy. Aroma.
Zero Or, who posted some excellent details and recommendations in the Discord related to two genre fiction words being added to the OED. Here's the short version of what Count Zero Or wrote. The Oxford English Dictionary has announced the addition of several Japanese loan words into the OED. That is, words from Japanese that have been added to the OED as words loaned from Japanese into English. And the two words on that list are speculative fiction related. The first is tokusatsu, referring to a type of speculative fiction, film, or television series characterized by the use of practical visual effects, generally involving works of science fiction. And the second is isekai, referring to a variety of portal fantasy, where a person from contemporary Earth is taken to a secondary fantasy world, whether being summoned or dying and being reincarnated in that world, often, but not always, involving an errant delivery truck.
Highly specific.
Yeah. White truck! So, now you get to criticize my Japanese pronunciation because I know you speak Japanese.
No, those were pretty good.
Okay,
those were good.
You.
Yeah.
Man, we're so like multilingual on this episode. It's crazy.
We're doing our best. We're doing our best here. Mark says the 2024 Philip K. Dick Award winner has been announced. These Burning Stars by Bethany Jacobs, which is the first book of a space opera trilogy. A trilogy? Trilogy? Really? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's German
English
for trilogy.
English is still hard for this one. trilogy. And a special citation was awarded to the Museum of Human History by Rebecca Bergman, which seems to be literary speculative fiction. Sword and Laser has read 3 Philip K. Dick winners so far.
That surprised me because I've always felt like we see the Philip K. Dick nominees and they're always books we haven't talked about much, if at all, and certainly not often books that we've picked. So
would you like to know what they are?
It was pretty cool to hear that. Yeah, yeah. What were the 3?
Neuromancer
okay.
by William Gibson. Altered Carbon by Richard K. Morgan.
Really? Okay. Nice.
Which won in 2004, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And Elysium by Jennifer Marie Brissett.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't really remember reading. A computer program etched into the atmosphere has a story to tell, the story of 2 people. I do remember this. Okay.
Yeah.
A city lost to chaos, a virtual of survival and love. The program's data, however, has been corrupted as a novel's characters struggle to survive apocalypse. That was like with the like kind of like rebel gangs under the city. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was and it was a book that I kept forgetting was called Elysium as we were reading it. So it doesn't surprise me that it didn't immediately jump to mind.
Nice. All right. Well, I guess that, sorry, I'm still looking at these picks. Thank you so much for submitting stories for our quick burns. You can do that over on our Discord or in our Goodreads thread for quick burns. Or you can email them or you can call and tell us.
Yeah.
We have a phone number somewhere, I'm sure. Yeah,
you can just text us or you can write us a letter. 11870 Santa Monica Boulevard, Suite 106551, Los Angeles, California, 90025.
Also, Neuromancer is a pick kind of this month again. It is a side read.
A side read is a good name for that because it's not an alt read because we've already read it. It's a reread because we've already read it. But the reason people are reading it is in advance of the television show that's coming. So
it's a re-side read.
Pre-side reread.
I like it. I like it. All right. Well, now it is time for Bear Your Sword, which is our feedback from the audience.
Steven says, I paused Iron Widow mostly because I had another book come in, Empire of the Damned, which I really wanted to read right away. And the angst of the main character kind of ground on me, but I hope to get back to it. Not on the high priority list, however, baseball season started and I am taking Thai language classes. So this year might have a few DNF books. As for the March Madness winner, I got the 2 books from Audible Plus. So no Audible credit burned on the book this month. Dave responded, hold on. Timing for watching baseball in Southeast Asia must be a bit interesting. And Steven said, yeah, night games are on at 6 a.m. if they're on the East Coast and 9 a.m. if they're on the West Coast.
That's not too bad.
So the only problem is day games, which generally means Saturday and Sunday late nights.
That is like in reverse for what I used to experience living in San Francisco, which was people watching European football games at the bars
morning.
under my apartment at 6 a.m.
yeah.
in the morning, already drunk and screaming.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it makes sense.
What's your favorite team, Steven? And why is it the San Francisco Giants?
It's not.
It might be.
Mm.
You don't know, Tom.
I know. Actually, I kind of wonder if Steven is a Giants fan, actually. You're still a Giants fan? You don't live there.
So?
So
you're still a Cardinals fan. You don't live there.
You were a Red Sox fan until you were in San Francisco and then you became a Giants fan. Why don't you just switch to the Blue Jays?
The Blue Jays? Come on.
Come on.
They do have Brandon Belt though, I think. Is he with the Blue Jays or is he with the Marlins? I can't remember.
Brandon Crawford's with the Cardinals. You should just become a Cardinals fan.
I know. That's crazy. I really feel like the Giants did him dirty.
Yeah.
I don't. He's only ever played for the Giants. And he's like almost retired. This is not a baseball podcast.
I was going to say, and that ends this episode of Baseball Tonight with Veronica. But man, Shohei Ohtani. Wow. Okay.
All right. Peter Garner over on Mastodon said, well, I've got Neuromancer on hold at the library, so I plan to reread it again after 40 years.
Wow.
WTF.
Wow.
You should too. Hoping it holds up better than the Foundation trilogy.
Oh my God.
Grimace face.
That's true and weird to think about.
Peter? True and yeah. vaguely frightening.
No yeah. kidding. Yeah. Cameron wrote about Worldcon Glasgow. Hey guys and gals, are you two kids coming to Worldcon in Glasgow this year? I'm thinking of heading up to it. I live about an hour away and I would love to meet both of you if you're able. If not, then another time and another day it shall be. LOL, smiley face, heart smiley face, thumbs up, fist bump.
Oh, I really wish I could go. When is it again?
Yeah, let's come up with our excuses why
it's
we can't
really
be there.
It's really hard for me to. No, I can't.
August 8th. Maybe if I bring the. Through August 12th.
Hmm. Okay.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible. It's not impossible. It's a long trip. It would be very awesome.
It would show that we only attend World Cons if they're where we live or in the British Isles.
Yeah, apparently so far.
If
yeah.
we went to Glasgow.
We're very lazy, but we also are a bit of a, what do you call them? Britophiles?
Anglophile. It'd be Britophile because it's Scotland and Ireland. So it's not even Britain.
Ireland.
Ireland. I don't think Ireland loves being called the British Isles, but that is a collective term for both of them.
I'm sure they don't. Yeah. No. But I would love to go to Glasgow.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Eileen wants to go to Scotland too because of Outlander. So.
I mean, I don't want to say same, yeah, but I do.
But partly
I watched a funny TikTok where, and maybe both our Irish and Scottish listeners can either confirm or deny this. But if you go to Ireland and you have like a lot of Irish heritage, you're like, I'm Irish American. They're like, no, you're not. Like, you're American. Or if you go to Scotland, and you're like, I'm Scottish American. They're like, cousin, like, welcome
really?
Home. Oh. That's what the TikTok said. I don't know if it's true.
I had the opposite experience where I mentioned that my grandmother was a Miles and came over from Galway. And the taxi mm-hmm. driver generously said, always happy to meet a Miles, and was really nice about it. When I was like, I'm probably not even Irish, you know, but that's the story. And he was really nice about it. So I feel like they get that
a lot.
My
family also came in from Galway. Maybe we're related.
Are we? We probably related.
Maybe.
That
probably related.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Exactly.
Mike said Mac on Patreon says, if there are any other blind or reading disabled members, you can find the combined book for the current pick this month, Cordelia's Honor, on NLS Bard, titled as For Kosigan Saga Books 2 and 3. Oh. I thought that was a cool bit of
information. What made me pause was 2 and 3?
2 and 3 and not 1? Isn't it 1 and 4?
Because it's 1 and 7.
7.
Yeah. If they're not...
I was curious about that as well.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. But anyway, good to know. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, thank you for sharing that.
And then Saray on Patreon wrote, wow, I never realized these book briefings existed. I cannot believe how useful this is. So first, my apologies for being ignorant of the very good work you are doing, and thank you so much. I really am
She's typing in the chat right now.
Perpetually serendipitously rediscovering Sword and Laser. It's been a Aww. Great ride.
Thank you.
Wrote in the chat, oh yeah, that was useful. Well, this month was particularly necessary because of the weird... It's one book, but it's not one book. And they were published at different times, but the author prefers that you read these first and all of that. And it took a lot of explaining, right? And then we went through that on the last episode as well. But yeah, every month I try to write up a little bit about why it was chosen and, you know, just some basic background about the author and what to expect in the book without being spoilery or anything. So if you are a patron at the $5 level and up, you get those book briefings every month on Patreon.
Thank you for being a Patreon member.
Thank you so much.
As well. Mantissa says Falling Free was number one. So I guess that was pre Shards of Honor in the Vorkosigan saga, perhaps. So maybe we need to do a little more digging.
Not according to everything I read. Shards of Honor was published first. But I'll double check.
Do we do the published chronological order or the intended reading order?
Well, the intended reading order is Shards of Honor to Bariar.
Right. But is there one before Shards of Honor?
Hmm. Yeah.
See, in this series, in the publication order on Goodreads, it shows Shards of Honor, mm-hmm. Warrior's Apprentice, right. Ethan of Athos, oh. Falling Free as saga number four.
Chris cleared it up. Falling Free is first by internal chronology. So Falling Free is a prequel to Shards of Honor, but not part of the story of Cordelia's honor, because it's not about Cordelia.
I see.
It's about Leo Graf.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Clear.
All
right, things are happening.
Thank you, Chris K. That cleared that
clearing things up in real time.
Quite a bit. So there's the publication order, then there's the chronological order, and then there's Lois McMaster Bujold's recommended reading order.
Right.
It is. Tamahome. It's Elric all over again.
All over again. And not the only one. I'm sure there's many books that are just like this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then that wraps it up. So let's talk about, we're going to kick off the aforementioned Cordelia's Honor by Lois McMaster Bujold. Non-spoilery. This is our first foray into discussing this book or books, depending on how you are ingesting it. And so really these, as Tom mentioned two weeks ago, Cordelia's Honor is made up of two novels, Shards of Honor and Beriar, and they are chronological together. So Beriar picks off exactly at the end of Shards of Honor. So it should be a seamless experience. You can get the book, I believe, in hardcover or paperback as a combined issue. Most people are probably going to need to buy the two novella-ish lengthed books to get the full experience. So that's what I did on Kindle. You can also do that as others who wrote in. Who was it that just wrote in earlier that we were talking about? Stephen, who did the two books on Audible also as separate editions.
Yeah, that's what I did
listening
too.
In that order. Yeah.
And again, not to go too much repetition, but it is kind of complex. Shards of Honor and most of Beriar were written as one book by Lois McMaster Bujold. And the publisher said, we should stop the story here. And they published Shards of Honor. Lois kept the part of Beriar she had written and then finished it, added to it to create Beriar. So the story literally picks up in Beriar with the next event, you know, the next event in sequence immediately after the last thing that happens in Shards of Honor. It's not 3 days later, even. It's like, this is exactly where you left off. The one thing I will say, it did feel like Beriar starts with a little unnecessary recap if this was one book. So when you're reading Beriar, there's a little bit of like, you know, as this thing that happened just recently pointed out to her, you're like, I just read that in the last chapter. There's a tiny bit of that in the very first chapter of Beriar that might stand out to some people. It might not. But otherwise, it really feels smooth. It really feels like, oh, yeah, no, this is just the same story.
This is a question that I thought about last week, and Tamahome also just asked in chat, and I'm curious about your experience so far. Did you find the writing quality to have improved in Beriar versus Shards of Honor, considering so many books had been written in between, and Lois McMaster Bujold probably improved her craft over that amount of time? What do you think?
I don't like to put it that way because that's very judgy. But I will say that I noted that recap thing. And I noted the latter half had a slightly different style. The latter half of Beriar starts to feel like, oh, this is new stuff. This is a tone change, very subtle tone change. Whereas the first half of Beriar feels fairly consistent with what was in Shards of Honor. And that matches with what I'm told is that the first half of Beriar was already written. And so she probably reworked it and polished it a little bit, but it is that second half where it's like, you're doing a lot of different things. I don't want to get spoilery, and I don't think this is spoilery unless you're like, can't even, you know, have any kind of food made on the same machinery that spoilers are made on. But I think there is more contemplative things happen towards the end of Shards of Honor and beginning of Bariar, and there's more active things happening at the beginning of Shards of Honor and end of Bariar. So there's also that aspect that might color my tone.
Interesting. Yeah. I have to say, like, even though this book was, I don't want this to sound like condescending or anything, but it was written in 1986, right? I find the conversation to feel very modern. Like, I feel the writing, it feels quite current to me.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And I don't think that should come off as condescending, but yeah, there
I guess condescending is not the right word. No, I'm not sure what I'm looking for.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. You don't want to be like a backhanded compliment or anything, but
right.
There's not the sense of other books that we might have read from 1986 where you have to make allowances of like, well, this is the way people thought then and they didn't think this was bad then. There's a lot of more progressive modern thinking that fits in with how people think now. I really like
the banter
too.
Already. Yeah. Like there's already pretty good banter. And so that's been, it's kind of nice to get back into a sci-fi adventure kind of novel for me because I've been so sucked into romanticy. So it feels, it already feels a little like swashbuckly in a fun way. And like danger and mystery, and this has romance, I'm aware. Thank you, Tamahome. Yeah, that's another bit. But it feels, Sarai says there are points of view that feel very 80s to me, and I haven't gotten very far in yet. And there are still some
points of view like that.
Well.
Yeah. There's some trigger issues and some points of view on the trigger issues that I couldn't decide if those are in character or just the 80s POV. They're definitely the 80s POV, but they might also be in character. I don't know.
So far I'm enjoying it, but I'm not very far in. So I don't have too much to add, but I feel like that's okay because it's only April 4th.
I'm almost done.
I know.
And I'm usually historically in Sword and Laser, I'm the one trailing. I'm usually the one that is trying to catch up and get it read on time. I've been able to change up some routines that have helped, but also I'm enjoying it. I really like Cordelia. I'm almost sad that the majority of the series is about Miles Vorkosigan instead of Errol and Cordelia. Cordelia is awesome, and I want more Cordelia. And so I'm glad that I'm getting to spend so much time with her in this world.
She does seem like a badass already. So I am also enjoying that character.
She reminds me of a friend of mine, and I've been meaning to recommend this book to her and say, you really need to read this book, because I think you'd see a kindred spirit in Cordelia.
That's nice. That's cool. All right. Well, I think that wraps up our episode. A little bit of a shorter one tonight because we are just kicking off the new book. So we don't have really too many.
Never tell them it's shorter. Tell them it's like, oh, there's so much more. Stay with us.
It's novella length, as Tom Holmes says.
Yeah.
Leave them wanting more. Leave them wanting more. But thank you so much for listening. And as we mentioned, our show is entirely funded by you, our patrons. Thank you so much to those who help support the show. You can learn more over at patreon.com/swordandlaser.
You can also support the show by buying books through our links. You can find links to the books we talk about and some of our favorites at swordandlaser.com/picks.
Send us an email, feedback@swordandlaser.com. We are on Instagram, X, and Mastodon @swordandlaser. And all of our discussions happen over on Discord or on goodreads.com/swordandlaser. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.